Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting here with one of our new T-shirts on, pulling up a stool, buddy.
Yeah, I have my sunglasses on, so I'm not blinded by it.
Oh, hey, everybody likes these, dude.
You can definitely tell who the WDW Main Street crew are now.
Yeah, well, I need to say I figured I like the safety green, and I think if it looks good on the guys. I look good in light green, buddy.
Yeah, lime is a good color on you.
It does look good. The pink came out good for the girls, too.
Yeah, both two vibrant colors, and they look awesome.
Yeah, I just wanted to be different, you know what I'm saying? And I like them. And the way I figured is I could also wear them to work if I want to.
There you go.
Safety green. Keep my insurance rates down.
Yeah, they'll see you coming, that's for sure.
Dude, I need somebody to see me coming because I'm barely seeing myself going, let me tell you.
Yeah, with as many hours as you've been putting in, you're right on that.
Well, I'm hoping to get a three-day weekend here for 4th of July. Keep your fingers crossed.
And you won't. I told you on the last show, you won't know what to do with yourself. You'll be bored you with 3 days off.
Well, for one, I'm going to fix 2 plumbing leaks in my own house. So that's what my goal is for Saturday.
Oh, boy.
You know how plumbing is.
Oh, yeah, that can turn into the thing.
Yeah, say a prayer for me.
Yeah, it rarely goes according to plan when it comes to plumbing.
Yeah, so we're gonna. But the thing is, I will be home, and I won't have to leave here at the crack of dawn. So, but you came up with this idea, Dan, to do landscaping and trees around Walt Disney World. And you said to me trees the first time. You know what the first thing I thought of when you said trees?
No.
I looked at my wife and I said, Dennis wants to do a show on trees. And then you elaborated a little more and said landscape. And I'm saying trees. So automatically the Tree of Life comes to mind and the Swiss Family Treehouse. So I got them in my back pocket in case I need them during this show. But the biggest thing, I started thinking of My Cousin Vinny. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. Years ago, I haven't seen it, you know, in the last 10 years, but yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, and he's interviewing the one goofy guy, and he goes, so you really seen what's going on over there? You could see what's going on. He goes, yeah, I had a good view. He goes, behind all these bushes and all these leafy things. What do you call these leafy things? And he goes, spit it out. As soon as you think of it, spit it right out. And the guy goes, trees! And the first thing I thought about was you saying, I said to Brenda, because we actually seen My Cousin Vinny the other night on, it was on one of the cable channels.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies, every time it's on, I laugh at it. And as soon as you said to me trees, I'm thinking of My Cousin Vinny. So we're going to talk about some trees at Walt Disney World and landscaping.
Yeah, well, anyways, my thoughts were, you know, we're always talking and bouncing things off of each other to come up with show topics. And, you know, of course, we're heavy in the restaurant reviews and, you know, of course, the our staple, our Sunday news show. But I figured I'd come up with something a little bit off the beaten path. But I think once we get into it, you'll see that it is kind of mainstream Disney after all, although it sounds like a weird topic.
No, I hear you. And if we could do landscaped areas or whatever, and there's certain landscaped areas that are my go-to places in the parks that are my happy places. Mm-hmm. So I got you with this. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you go first because I'm going to sit here, drink a cold one, and listen to you preach poetically about the trees and landscaping in Walt Disney World.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it may or may not be what you're thinking, but we'll go here.
I'm just kidding with you, then. We're having fun here.
Oh, absolutely. So
I pick because I can.
Yeah. I'm the only one here. John's not here, so I got to take the brunt of everything.
Well, I'll text him while we're on the, yeah. doing the show and get on him too. Right. I might need to call him for some reinforcements.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Once this gets released, we'll see what he comes up with when we chat with him on Sunday.
Yeah, he always has something to say, don't he?
He does. He's a good reporter.
Well, he could probably name 20 trees that he grabbed the beer and set underneath at the park. So.
Or delivered to, you know, property or something, you know?
Yeah, I remember once I grabbed a cold one from Rose and Crown and went and sat under the tree. I can hear it now. So, you go ahead first, my friend.
All right, yeah. My first one's going to be, and the way I thought about this, are just trees or, like you said, landscaped areas or flower beds or something that, I enjoy each and every time I go down to Walt Disney World that I may not even have thought of or really realized that I enjoy them until I came up with the topic. So first one for me is going to be, I think, an iconic one that kind of blew me away the first time I went to Disney World. And actually, you can see these particular trees from my favorite attraction, the TTA. And I am going to choose, I guess, or put forth the metal palm trees that are outside of the Space Mountain queue area there. You know, when you walk underneath heading towards Space Mountain, you have all
exactly
those
what you're talking
the
about.
Palm trees that are made out of metal. Aren't those cool?
They're really cool. And and that's where Disney goes the extra mile for the Disney difference with making Tomorrowland, you know what I'm saying, and put those trees up. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I get a kick out of them every time I see them.
I mean, I must have dozens of pictures of them, and there's several of them too. I thought there was only like one or two, but if you really look around that whole area, I'm going to say there's at least six, and there may even be more. And they're different in that, the palm, leaves or whatever you call them, they're, at different angles, and each one is unique into itself. So, those are pretty awesome. I mean, whoever saw a metal tree made in the shape or in the form of a palm tree, and like you said, keeping in with the futuristic look of the that area of the Magic Kingdom, those are pretty awesome.
And I'll elaborate a little further because it was kind of on my list, like things that I thought of, is just the actual palm trees throughout all of the Walt Disney World Resort. It's kind of one of with us living up here in New Jersey and Boston and not ever seeing the palm tree, every time I go down, once I enter the state of Florida, just seeing the palm trees and it just makes me happy. Like, you see them in South Carolina and Georgia, but there's something different when you enter Florida and you get, once I enter Disney property and start seeing the palm trees throughout the resort, they're one of the things that gets the trip started and puts me in my happy place.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, and John's probably will be rolling his eyes when he hears this, because he probably sees palm trees like we see, oak trees up here. They're just a pain in the neck, But I similarly have an affection for palm trees too, for that reason, because that means Florida, which equals Disney World for me. And when we used to drive down when the kids were small, we played this game. Once we went down a couple of times, so one time I the kids were bored or whatever, and I said, okay, so I forget what I had for a prize, but I said, first one, I want to know when the first palm tree that we see on our descent, down south, and driving from Boston, going by your house and south from there. And where would you say the first palm tree you're likely to see, or maybe you have an exact location, but how far north or
how far south
where,
you mean?
Yeah, where in your travel journey have you seen a palm tree in your trips to Walt Disney World?
The very first ones that I see every year I go down that I remember is right when you get to south of the border in the center of the aisle. They have them starting for South Carolina. They're all planted all around south of the border there, and all in the medium strip and all of 95. Now, is that where you remember seeing them?
Yeah. We had one that we saw, and again, somebody might have just thrown it in, and I don't know if it ever survived the winter, but we We used to stay in Petersburg, Virginia, which is just a little north of the line before you get into...
I think you're right, because there are some around the hotels there that we stayed
in. Yeah, I mean, they're
probably... Richmond and stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, and they're, I think they're those, they call them sago palms. I don't know if they're, you know, they're officially probably not an actual palm tree, but it's, I got into it so bad, I bought a couple of... what they ended up being, they call it S-A-G-O, sago palm. We stopped at a nursery down in Florida one time, and because I wanted to bring them home and put them in pots, and I loved them so much that, you know, and I did do that, and they lasted a couple of years, and we had a little hurricane or something, and they blew up the deck. Long story. But, yeah, we did see one in Petersburg, in like, exactly what you said, in one of the hotels there. So I was going to say, you know, Virginia is where I've seen a palm tree.
Yeah, and I remember, because like on our trips, we do 301, we take the back way, and a lot of those hotels in the Virginia, North Carolina area do have the palm trees. But when it starts to totally sink in for me, yep. I mean, now that you mention it, I have seen them all around that area. It was we get off on an area on a 295 bypass in Virginia.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yep, and there's a Wawa and all we stop at that they have them all around there. But it don't sink in until we hit south of the border there by, you know, I know you've seen Pedro's stuff.
Oh,
yeah. If they spent as much money on the Pedro signs on the resort little area there, they could have Disney World.
They ought to invest it in their restrooms.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and their hot dogs. I remember I got a hot dog there. It looked like, you ever see Kramer on when he gets that hot dog from the movie theater?
Yeah.
I got a hot dog just like that at South of the Border once.
Yeah, you're brave eating there. Although I did eat that. I think I had a hamburger once, and that was one and done for that place.
I didn't eat it. Me and Brenda grabbed it. We got out to the truck, and we seen what it looked like, and she goes, "You are not eating that."
Yeah.
And this is like I was like 26, 27 years old. She wasn't letting me eat it.
Right, right. But that's a rite of passage. Anybody that's driven, you know, that way on 95 South or whatever, I mean, you just get transfixed with the signage. When you know, they start out, I don't know, in Virginia, it seems like, and it's every 10 miles, then every 5 miles, then the closer you get, it's every mile, and then every half mile, and then...
And it pisses you off because it makes the trip longer.
Right, because you don't have time to get
20 miles to south of the border, 215 miles. It's like every mile they have one up, and it drives you insane. And the thing that makes you even madder is when you're traveling with friends and family that never have stopped there, that make you stop there, and you try to tell them it stinks, and you still end up having to stop there. I know you've had to do that in the past.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I will stop there now sometimes just to stretch my legs or something, but we won't even go in the store. We'll stop at an exit before, or maybe, you know, further down if we want to pick up a water or something like that. We, you know, but we have gotten out there just to, like I said, just kind of, because you can walk around there and get out of your car and kind of, you know, get a good stretch out. And it's a little nicer an area than, not nicer than a rest area, but I don't know, it just seems like it's a fairly safe place.
Yeah, but I haven't stopped there in 10 years, just out of principle. I'd rather get mugged than stop at south of the border anymore, because
no,
I feel like I'm mugged pulling in there.
Yeah, I feel bad because I follow them on Facebook, South of the Border, and I berated them once, not personally, but just, you know, like you said, the condition of their place. They have done some remodeling in recent years, but it's still, let's just say it's kind of a shady place. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, the thing is, the owners of that place are gazillionaires compared to me and you, so they're doing something right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you see it around your house. I see them up here. I mean, you always see somebody with a South of the Border sticker on their bumper. You know, it's just a place. Like I said, it's a rite of passage. You have to have stopped there. Anybody that's gone south has driven by there and never ever stopped in there once, at least to check it out.
No, I hear you. It's just I won't know more.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm with you. So, what do you got for your first one?
Well, I'm gonna, you know, I have to go with my favorite resort here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go with the twin oak trees on Old Man's Island. Those two big oak trees that are on Old Man Island.
Yeah.
You know how they have that there with the main swimming pool and all is? I just love the oak trees at Port Orleans Riverside. And those two oak trees are like, they're my old friends, they're home. And I like sitting out at the, you know, muddy rivers, getting a drink, and just enjoying the shade under those two huge trees.
Yeah, that's a great one, and I saved that one for you because I had that on my list, but I said I'll let Doug take that one because those, to me, are iconic, and some of the first trees that, you know, I ever noticed on Disney property. I mean, I noticed the palm trees, of course, and, you know, if you're at Caribbean Beach or, you know, something like that, it's going to be more heavily...
Yeah, those areas.
Yeah, you're going to have palm trees, but all, you know, with Port Orleans Riverside or Dixie Landings, when we started going, you know, it's you know, themed to the Old South and all that stuff, and you have a different species of trees, like you were just saying, those massive oak trees. You know, they're huge and they provide shade and set the scene. And you're right, it does, you know, create some ambiance for that whole Old Man Island and the swimming area and that whole area of Port Orleans. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, those two oak trees frame the island. They're just beautiful. I mean, they're just beautiful trees. They're monster, huge trees.
Yeah, I was looking today and I couldn't find it, but I know I read something about where they moved them from and what a big fiasco it was. But I'm pretty sure they were on the other side of property. I want to say they were over by where the Richard Petty racetrack was, you know, before that was even there. And I'm pretty sure they transplanted those, root ball and all, you know, they're probably a little smaller than they are now, obviously, but still massive trees in themselves, And, you know, it was quite, I know I read that story. Or maybe
the story you're talking about.
Yeah, or maybe Lou did a thing on it, one of the two, but there's a backstory to those trees that is pretty impressive. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have the backstory for our listeners, but that they were moved from somewhere else on property, that I know.
Yeah, I feel home when I walk out, when I'm walking to, in the morning. I just look at those trees every morning, look down the Sascarilla River. You know, then you see the old wheel. They're like all the things that, you know, just make me happy. And I'll continue, and just all the landscaping, like the trees, like the gazebo area, the whole nine yards in Oak Manor. It's just beautiful.
Yeah,
the trees are home to me.
Yeah, and like you know, like we were saying earlier, you know, I don't think, and I could be wrong, I don't think you'll find a palm tree at Port Orleans Riverside, although I could be wrong.
Yeah, no.
Can you I cannot envision a palm tree on that property, but like I said, if there is, it's probably one of those small, short ones that are like the, more like the ferns, I call them. You know, they have like that coconut ball that the leaves come out of that are planted to the, you know, close to the ground, but I really don't think there are any there.
Yeah, there's like, I mean, if there are, they're like mixed in with all the vegetation.
Shrubbery and
from,
stuff
yeah, to
like
and
that.
From the resort.
Right, right. But by and large, it's oak trees and different types of, there's a lot of pine, I think, in there that they have along
the
banks.
Yeah, and there's some palms around. There are some of the palm bushes.
Yeah, yeah.
Throughout
yeah.
the, but I don't, yeah, if there is, I don't even see them because all I'm seeing is the other vegetation there. So
exactly.
What's next for you, partner?
All right, next I am going to go with, again, I think this is probably the most iconic one, but I'm going to go with the Liberty Tree that's in Liberty Square. And this is a 130-year-old oak tree that was also found on property. It was located about 6 miles away. And if you can envision this, it's somewhat near the Christmas shop, but down further towards the... you know, maybe more so not across from the Hall of Presidents, but kind of between those two locations.
I know exactly where she is.
Yeah.
I call her the old oak.
Yeah, and you can see the there's 13 lanterns that hang from it, and they symbolize, obviously, the 13 original colonies. And this is a tree that I don't know if it's still here, but it was here at one time. But it used to, you know, it was up here in Boston, and you know, back in the Civil War days, and in that time period, that's where the townies used to meet and discuss politics and what was going to happen. And that's Disney's version of the Liberty Tree, and it's a you know, it fits with obviously Liberty Square, and like
Liberty
I said,
Tree
all
Tavern.
The presidents, yeah, all that stuff in there all tells a story. And that is an awesome tree, the way the branches are. And I remember vividly standing across from it many a times watching the parade come by, you know, before getting to the, you know, the hub and the castle area there. But, you know, that's an awesome place there. And, you know, anybody that's a history buff knows all about the, you know, the Liberty Tree and its significance to our country.
Oh, yeah, there's from time to time, I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, they do tie yellow ribbons around that every once in a while when there's major significant things going on in the country.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's kind of, you know, instead of the flag at half-mast or in addition to, they also commemorate things with the ribbons. I think you're right, Doug.
Yeah, because I think I could be wrong, and don't yell at us for this, but I could remember we went to when we were at war with Iraq. I think they tied some yellow ribbons, a yellow ribbon around that tree for the soldiers to come home.
Yeah, very well could have been. I mean, that's a tradition across the country, so that wouldn't surprise me if they did do that.
Yeah, so I think they have done that in the past, and if I'm wrong, please let me know. But I could swear that I have seen the
ribbons.
You know,
yeah. Yeah, could be right. What do you got for your next?
Some fun that I've always wanted to do. We say we're going to do this, and then me and Brendan never end up doing it, and we come home empty-handed. But the bonsai trees in the China Pavilion. You ever roam through there and look to buy them?
Yes is the short answer to your question, and that's a great one. I had that on my hidden gem list, but yeah, if you go during Flower and Garden in particular, but they're there at other times of years too. Across from the China Pavilion, out towards the water, they have these beautiful the bonsai, but they actually have them on these shelving, that's not the right word, but some sort of structures that actually you can look at them, and you're looking out towards the water, towards Spaceship Earth, so it's really cool. You can get a good look at them, and some of these are, you know, 100-year-old trees that have been manicured and taken care of over the years. Yeah, that's a great one. You know, the bonsai. But what I was going to say, Doug, is, yeah, I was in the bonsai, my son and I, for years. We actually went to classes and learned how to make one out of a, you know, a regular tree, and you bend wire around the branches and you cut them and do certain things. So, in fact, I'm looking at one in my room right now. I still have one left out of all that I had. But I really enjoy them, too. And I think they even put them up towards the restaurant up where you climb the stairs there by the fish pool, the koi pond there or whatever.
Yes, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I think they even, you know, have them there as well, especially, like I said, during Flower and Garden. I think there are more there than during other times of the year. But you can, I think I've seen, you know, 15 or 20 different species of bonsai all around that pavilion. And they're beautiful and expensive, and, you know, it takes a lot of hard work to get them looking like that and keep them looking like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're there. Yeah, I mean, the Japanese pavilion have them too. I mean, it's just beautiful to see me and Brenda, because we've looked at them in the big store in the Japanese pavilion also. You know how the big Japanese store, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But there's been multiple times between the trees in the China Pavilion and the Japanese Pavilion. It's so nice to see the different. They're just so. How can I put it? They're just beautiful because it's so much different than our culture,
right?
And any other culture, the way they groom their trees and their tree, it's just beautiful in those two areas.
Yeah, I mean, it is an art form. It truly is. You know, and some of those trees are handed down generation to generation because, like I said, some of them are 100 years or better old. So, I mean, you might inherit it from your grandfather or grandmother or whatever, and, you know, you care for it for the next 30, 40, 50 years, and then you pass it on to somebody else. So, you know, there's a lot of family history and it goes along with those. And I know up here the greenery, or the greenhouse I should say, that it does all bonsai. I mean, people go on vacation in the summer, or maybe they're snowbirds or whatever. They actually rent space at the greenhouse, kind of like you would for your pet or something, because you know, those need to be watered at certain intervals, and they can't be overwatered, and certainly cannot be allowed to run dry. So people actually got to pay to have somebody take care of their bonsai tree while they're gone for extended periods of time.
Oh, they're beautiful. I mean, they're, you know, it's a lot of them made out of like Japanese white pine, I've read, and
Yep.
stuff like that. But it's like the way that they, the way the arborist, the Chinese, the arborist, and the Japanese, the way they arbor their trees is so much, they're so beautiful compared to, and I know it's like to them, it's like what our, the way we groom our trees is to us in English.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of the countries, Ireland, all, every, we all have kind of the same landscaping. But
Right.
when you look at the Chinese, I know it's common to them or the Japanese, but to us, it's beautiful. It's because it's so different.
Oh yeah, right. I mean, I the only bonsai, you know, I can remember in a movie. You remember the
Karate
Karate
Kid.
Kid? Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel-san.
The bonsai, and he
Mr.
trained him.
Miyagi.
Yeah,
Mr.
that was.
Miyagi.
And remember the bonsai tree was growing on the side of the mountain there and all that stuff. And
Oh, we
played.
had to save it. That's when they went into bonsai
Yep.
business.
Exactly. That was just, it played a significant role in that movie. So, yeah,
Yeah, I
it
love
all
the old
ties
bonsai.
together.
Yep, I love the bonsai trees. Go ahead, buddy. What's
All
next
right.
for you?
Next, I'm going to go for kind of a maybe not obscure one, but it's not technically a tree, but I did say we would include landscaping and stuff like that. But I am going to say, and I don't know the body of water or that it even has a name, but when you, if you're coming from Spaceship Earth and it's Flower and Garden Festival, and you walk straight under Spaceship Earth towards the World Showcase, on the right-hand side, it would be, there's that, the floral pattern on the side of the hill that goes around the body of water there. It's so vibrant, and it usually is all in bloom. And you know, again, I'm sure you have dozens of pictures of this as well, but I don't know, that just to me screams, it's so beautiful, and it's in Epcot, and it's springtime, and usually I'd be down there just coming out of a, you know, a hellacious winter up here in the Northeast, and to me that is just so easy on the eyes, and just a beautiful, you know, flowers almost as far as you can see, and they make designs, you know, with pattern with the flowers on the ground, and it's just beautiful landscape work in my view.
No, oh, dude, it's gorgeous. It's one of the things that when you lay your eyes on Epcot, you just can't believe how beautiful it is. It's because Epcot is so, it's weird. It's cold and warm at the same time, like, because it's so vast and open, but
Right.
there's so much vegetation. It's weird, like, it's just, like, you know how the Animal Kingdom, vegetation's everywhere. But there's a ton of it at Epcot that you don't realize, and you start looking around, and there's so many beautiful areas of landscaping in Epcot, but
Oh,
that
yeah.
is one of the that is one of the better ones.
Yeah, it's and it, you know, as we know, you know, you've been to the festival a dozen, you know, dozens of times, as have I, and it's always changing too, because you know, you never know, at any given night they're able to, you know, if it starts looking just a little you know, shabby, you know, even though it still look beautiful to us, Disney is right on it, and they might change it out to a new species. And as the growing season goes too, I know this happens, you know, they can only grow certain flowers outside when it's, you know, you still might get a frost, or maybe there's a potential for a frost early on, or if not a frost, just cooler temperatures as some of the other flowers, they just can't withstand those temperatures. So you might see a color change or a bed change based on that, you know, from one day to the next on your vacation. So you got to look out for that as well.
Nah, dude, there's so many beautiful things, and I don't like to go back, but there's a certain time of the night too.
Yep.
Speaking of the palm trees, like you can get all the way across at the American Adventure,
yep.
and it's getting dark out. And I know you've probably taken this picture or seen this picture, but when you're at Epcot, you're standing at the American Adventure and you're looking back. Like it's usually with me, it's before illumination starts, and I'm looking back across at Spaceship Earth, and you'll
yep.
see the palm trees in the shadows.
Oh, right.
Like, and you could see the ball behind them.
Yep.
And it's just so beautiful to me. And that's another reason why, like, another one of the things with the palm trees I like. But do you know the picture I'm talking about
yeah,
in your mind?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly.
There's
view.
Like six or eight palm trees that you could see that are, like, blocking the view.
Yep.
They aren't blocking the view, but they're actually, they kind of look like a shadow, or they're on the ball a certain way you look
right.
at Spaceship Earth.
Yep,
but,
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, that's an excellent one. And, you know, it's kind of like just a silhouette, it seems like.
Exactly, because the ball's glowing different
right.
colors. Know how it's turning, like, purple and orange?
Yep.
And And that's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw in a kind of an extra one I had here too, since we're talking about palm trees. I really like the palm trees, particularly in Hollywood studios. They're the ones that are tall, and they just have
down Hollywood Boulevard.
Yes, right up Hollywood Boulevard there. And like I said, they're obviously a different species of palm tree, because they're extremely tall and they have just a little bit of what'd you call them? Leaves or palm leaves or whatever at the top. They're very unique and distinct.
Palm frond or whatever they call it.
I mean, I've seen them other places. I'm not saying this, you know, Disney's the only place that has them, but they're pretty impressive. If you look at any picture, if you, you know, click on it or look at it and just look up Hollywood Boulevard, and you might not even notice them if you weren't really looking at it to see the trees, but they also kind of frame, as you were saying earlier, over at Port Orleans, they frame Hollywood Boulevard all the way up to leading towards the great movie ride or the Chinese theater at the end. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they are. My next one is,
okay,
and tell me if you like this one, is, and I know you've been here before because you went when you did your solo trip. I told you I would have gone with you, but you never invited me, but it's okay. But it's okay. Maybe one of these days. But
get there.
When you go to the Wilderness Lodge, another one of the resorts, kind of like Riverside, the Wilderness Lodge, with all the beautiful pine trees around it and the Christmas trees all throughout. They have these big, massive pine tree Christmas trees that are all in the landscape and around the front of the cabin, the main building. And it just, it's so picturesque the way that when you ride into that resort with all the different the trees that they have in the landscaping, it just, You do not feel like you're in Florida, am I wrong?
No, I mean, you're half expecting a black bear to come running out of the woods or something.
And you're waiting for it to snow.
Yeah. and when you think about it, you're a stone's throw away from, you know, the Contemporary Resort and the Magic Kingdom.
Exactly.
But you're right. It's a whole – and you get the Polynesian, you know, just across the road from there, which is obviously a whole differently themed resort. But you're right. It totally – if somebody dropped you there and you didn't know you were in Central Florida, you would never guess it in a million years, aside from the 98 degrees and humidity.
Well, if you took them there in February, they wouldn't have a clue.
Right. They'd think they're in the Northwest somewhere.
Yeah, if you blacked them out, like give them a little sleeping pill, and then you woke up and you were there, and you tell them, listen, we decided not to go to Disney World. We went west.
Right.
Yeah. And right. You would really – I mean, it's that picturesque. Once you go through that guard gate, the guard little shack there –
yep.
It's gorgeous. But yeah, I love, because us being from New Jersey and all, and that's what I was saying, I mentioned to my wife years ago, we moved to Florida, if we miss the Northeast, we could always head over to Wilderness Lodge.
Right. That's as
get
close
the old
to
pine,
home.
Yep, get the pine trees, the whole, you can get the whole feel in the middle of winter there.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people tell stories, you know, even on a summer day, they can take sitting by the fireplace inside the Wilderness Lodge, because I think they run them year round there, because mentally they're in a place where they feel that, not that they're actually cold, but they don't mind the heat from the fireplace or the log in the fireplace, because it's just their eyes are telling them that they're in this place that it should be cooler than it actually is.
Oh, absolutely. I said the exact same thing to Brenda, like I was saying before, that we would just head over there during December or February, and we could just soak in the fire, the pine trees. We'll feel like we're home in New Jersey.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's, hey, if you're trying to get down there for the holidays, that's a good selling point, that's for sure. Book a stay, even if it isn't your whole stay, maybe a night or two over there, and you'll have your, you know, your Northeast Christmas too.
Yeah, because there's not a palm tree on that property.
I'd be willing to bet there isn't, or if it is, it's something growing wild out in the woods there somewhere.
Yeah, because it's like a same thing with river, but there's no palm trees growing here, man.
Right,
but it's
right.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
What's your next one, buddy?
Yeah, let's see. I am going to, I mean, you mentioned at the outset of the show, we won't go into it, but obviously the Swiss Family Treehouse is one that, you know, I think snapped into both of our minds right away. And again, it's the treehouse itself is the, you know, it isn't the actual tree, but, you know, that's a pretty impressive, you know, item that's in that part of Adventureland there. You know, everybody know, I mean, the word tree's in the name, so I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, so that's why you skipped over it, but I thought I'd mention it because it was on my list.
No, you have to do it. I consider that my exercise.
Yeah.
I do that every trip. It's kind of like, it's a fun stress test.
Right.
And I'm not even kidding. If you climb up and down that and have and get down and continue roaming through the park, I think it's as good as any stress test you get at the doctor's office, but you're having fun doing it.
Right. At least there's something at the top you can get to see once you get up there.
Yeah, the worst part of that is I enjoy that more. That's one of the rides that other guests could really totally ruin it for you. If you're going up and down that tree with the wrong people, it could be very, very annoying. Or you get to the other thing I don't like is when you get with the family and there's always one person in that family that's pissed off that they were made to do it.
Oh, right. They're moaning and groaning. And
uh-huh. And then, you know, good old Papa Doug over here finally has to say, you know, that tree could get me in trouble, but I do love doing it. But I could get in very trouble very easily because there's many complainers that, you know, people don't like to exercise.
Right.
You know, and you get some of the wrong people up there. So I try to go up and down that. I do it a lot. But I admit we will go years without doing it. But every time I go a year or two and don't do it, I'm mad at myself for not doing it because it's fun.
Yeah, I remember you posted a picture, I think, once of, you know, the kitchen or something from up in the treehouse. And it went a while before anybody guessed it because I don't think a lot of people go up there.
Exactly. And I do it. Me and Brenda really enjoy it. We took her sister up the last time and we got some good pictures and we ended up the same thing. We had a family in front of us that were, moaning and groaning and blah, blah, blah. So we just stood and let like 20, 30 people pass us until we got with a group of like young 20 kids.
Right.
And they were all excited to be there and happy and they were all in good shape. And it was like, yes, this is who I need to be with. So we ended up touring the rest of it with them.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. I'm glad it worked out.
Yes. My next one is the upside down trees in the Kilimanjaro Safari.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I was trying to I wanted to say they were Bobotai trees, but
yes.
I don't think that's right.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They call them the upside down trees too in Africa, and we can call them that too.
That works for me.
But they are really, really cool, and it's awesome. And because I've seen them, because I'm one of these people that I watch all the pride on the Animal Planet, and I love watching the lion prides and all those movies. And I turn it off because I don't want to see any of the animals pass because I'm a big sad sack of sadness when that happens. But I do enjoy watching them roam and the whole nine yards. And when they pass all them trees and all, and then I seen it in – they did the exact upside down trees in the Kilimanjaro Safari. I was really impressed.
Right. Yeah. Those are the other than the Tree of Life itself, those are the second most unique trees, and they're not real. Obviously they're a fabrication of Disney, but they're real in size and look, and you know, they're exactly what you'd see if you were on the Serengeti yourself, but they're not an actual living tree, however.
No, but they're cool. They're awesome, and they fit perfectly in the Animal Kingdom. I enjoy them. I was glad. They're the little touches that Disney does to make things special.
Oh, yeah.
And there's many trees around the Animal Kingdom that's special. Because I love the whole area that the monkeys play at and all over there by Expedition Everest and all.
Yeah. That high, I don't know what species of tree it is, but those black monkeys there, I forget the name of them, it escapes me now. They climb way, way high up in the tree. And
absolutely.
I can't remember the name, but that's an awesome tree, too. I mean, yeah, there's probably literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different species of trees in the Animal Kingdom. We could do 10 shows on that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's just there's certain ones that pop out at you all the time, and these are the ones we were laying out. Do you have another one?
Yeah, I mean, I just have a couple of quick hitters I'll just throw at you real quick, and some of them are tongue-in-cheek and just in name. But we now have the Golden Oak Resort community with homes starting at $2 million over there.
If I hit the big one.
Yeah. So Golden Oak is a tree in the name. We have the Sunshine Tree Terrace, which, again, is in an actual tree in the Magic Kingdom, but that's where you can get your orange juice and your slush drink there or whatever it is. And you have the tiki room, that whole area there. And also, I thought of over in Living with the Land, you got, you know, the Mickey pumpkins and the giant lemon and all those different. I mean, I couldn't pick just one and say this is, you know, the one that I like the most or whatever. So I just kind of as a whole, just the whole Living with the Land attraction and all the different species of vegetables and trees and the hydroponics and, you know, growing trees without soil and that whole thing is, I don't know, that to me, that kind of fit with this subject as well.
Well, mine are, and you haven't done this yet, so you have to, you know, you have to do this one time.
Okay.
There's two. All the Christmas trees around Walt Disney World are absolutely breathtaking, and I love to go resort to resort to resort. I would love to be there with you the first time you go.
Right.
And go to every single resort and see, like, the tree over at the Animal Kingdom with all the... The original, the way they do it with the, you know, the African, the different...
decorations.
Decorations on the tree, the different... what are
Christmas
they?
Balls and bulbs.
Yeah, the ornaments. I couldn't think of the word ornament.
Right.
Like, sorry, guys, 72 hours this week I put in, and I'm still doing the show. But, you know, the ornaments around the tree, I mean, the way the ornaments are all authentic to every single resort is amazing to me. The monster tree in the Wilderness Lodge, the tree in the Animal Kingdom... The tree at Riverside that sits like, Dan, you know where the artist is and all where you go in?
Yep.
How cool will it be when you check in the Riverside, you see a beautiful tree there, a Christmas tree?
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to go see Christmas one at a time because the trees around the world at the boardwalk and the Grand Floridian with the, you know, with the gingerbread house. But the trees are, to me, they take center stage. And my number one trees... of all that remind me and my wife and my mother-in-law couldn't believe how beautiful they were the first time we seen them. The way they make the big poinsettia trees when you enter Epcot, when you come in at Christmas time, at the very front of Epcot, they are absolutely breathtaking. Like my mother-in-law go, are they real? Yeah, they're real.
Wow.
But it's just, they are absolutely, they're just so red and beautiful. It's just, if you're not in the Christmas spirit, you see them, you're really bah humbug if you're not having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because next on my list I have here Christmas trees all over property. And I tried to pick one and I was looking at pictures and I was going to choose the main tree that's on, you know, in the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, the Main Street there,
right.
with the choo-choo train going around it. Absolutely. It's gorgeous.
But, you know, I think you said it rightly that, you know, there's so many unique trees across all the resorts. It'd be hard to pick one over the other. So I think you're right calling it just in general, all the Christmas trees across property, need to be recognized as, you know, kind of not, maybe not iconic, but, you know, if you've been there at that time of the year like you have been, something you'll certainly remember for the rest of your life and look forward to going and seeing again someday.
Oh, I cannot wait. I mean, if something happened where I couldn't go in the fall or we can't, you know, go in the fall with work or whatever, mm-hmm. if I had to get pushed back to around Christmas time, I will not be upset.
Right.
Because literally, I could, like, know how you talk about how you go down there and not go to the parks anymore?
Right.
If it was actually Christmas time with Disney Springs and wanting to see all the trees at the resorts,
right.
it really wouldn't bother me because there's so much at the resorts at Christmas time. Go to it all at another level.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah, I mean, that's like you said, I'm sure you could get a full day out of that, or maybe even more, just going resort to resort and checking
everything out. I would say multiple days, because what you would do is have lunch or have a snack or breakfast or dinner at every one of them and make a day of it.
Right.
Because you could do, I'd say, I mean, me, I could do the Animal Kingdom and my own resort for a half a day easy. You could roam the Animal Kingdom for a long time. You could do the whole monorail loop at Christmas time. Do the Contemporary, the Polynesian, and the Grand Floridian.
Right.
And then hop over to the Wilderness Lodge and do the Wilderness Campground and roam around and see all the decorations at the campground.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You can quickly eat up a couple days easy then without even trying.
No, because you don't want to rush. Because what you would do is just go relax, have a drink, just hang out. I mean, you wouldn't, if you're doing it by days, how awesome would it be to go to the Animal Kingdom, have lunch at one of the restaurants, go to Sinai, have lunch, look at the tree, roam around, have a good time, and then maybe do Geeko for dinner.
Yep. Yeah.
And you would have a blast. Sit by the fire outside and just, there's so much to do. Besides it just being, I mean, with Christmas time, like I said, takes it to a whole other level.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the last one I had on my list is, and I don't believe there's a tree there. I looked today, but you got the Flame Tree Barbecue over at the Animal Kingdom.
Nah, we like some Flame Tree Barbecue.
Right. But I figured I'd throw it in because it had tree in the name. So.
No, that was awesome, Dan. I had fun. This was different. I hope you guys enjoyed it. We wanted to just throw something goofy out there and have some fun with it, and I think we had some fun with it.
Yeah, that's
like
I said.
There was more ammunition than we thought there'd be.
Exactly. We got a show out of it, and it brought it, you know, got us talking about a bunch of different things, and that was the whole point, and turned out all right.
Yeah, anytime we can talk Disney after a long week of work, or a long couple of days. With me, I'm saying week because I didn't have a weekend this weekend.
It's just one big long group of days.
Dude, I have no idea what day it is. When you texted me a recording, I said, it must be Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, but this was a lot of fun. We really appreciate you guys going over to iTunes. Leave us a review. It really means a lot to us. And when you guys talk about stuff that was on the show, it really makes it special. And we really appreciate all you guys for listening, tuning in, listening to these two Northeast Knuckleheads. That's the next T-shirt.
Northeast Knuckleheads.
Yes, that's the next one.
Okay.
Northeast Knuckleheads and John.
All right. Yeah, and John.
Yeah. But no, this is a lot of fun, Dan. I really enjoy talking.
Trees.
You know, anytime we get, yeah, and anytime my cousin Vinny, anytime we could talk trees and Disney is a good time, Dan.
There you go. I'll come up with something for next time too. We'll see what we can come up with.
How about shoes of Walt Disney World?
You
just
know,
kidding.
Actually, just real quick, that was one I forgot. Do you know about the shoe tree over at Bay Lake near the old site of River Country? Retiring cast members used to throw their shoes in it as their final farewell. Nowadays, just the retiring boat skippers do it, so you'll see a lot of white shoes in that tree. But look up shoe tree, Disney World, Bay Lake, and it's a real tree.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm going to go do that after the show now, Knucklehead.
Right. Enough about trees.
Yes, this is a lot of fun, Dan. You can find us on Twitter. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. Isn't that poetic for tonight?
Yeah, that's ironic.
And you can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us all at WDW Main Street. It's great. It's been fun. You guys have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you on Sunday for the Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. The show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.